Great. Well, good morning once again. If I happen to miss you earlier, my name is Wayne. I'm the pastor here at DCC, and we are engaging in a series called Daring Faith. And over the next month or two, this month and next month, we are talking about how God has called us to live by faith and to follow Him in this way. And it's how we experience great life and beauty. And so we have, it's been a great start to this series. In a downtown community, we, you know, our vision is to help people find their way back to God. And how do we accomplish that? Well, we want to go out to love well, to take steps, and to find life. And we can put this next image up on the screen. We want you to experience this. That we believe that we want to go out and as Jesus has called us to do that. And when you come and are with us, and as we serve one another, we want to love well. It really means to serve. And then to take steps. When Jesus came, He showed us. He called people to take steps towards Him. And as they do that, they begin to realize that He had the words of life. And they would surrender and follow Him and find life. That's His words to us. And we want you to experience that in this city as well. And last week, in part of this series, we talked about how God has made us to imagine. He's made us to dream. And so we talked about, you know, last week was part one of Daring to Dream. And we want to continue that conversation today. And here's just a quick recap of what we talked about last week. We started with talking about how there are three categories of dreaming that God has given us. There's some things we shouldn't imagine that we want to engage our minds in that are destructive for us. So there's worry, there's lust, and revenge. And that these are things that we should not be engaging in, that we have great minds that God has given us, and we need to be careful of that. But then we've talked about how God's, that there are some things that we cannot imagine that are so far beyond us, and it speaks to God. And then if we just think about the universe and how much we've discovered about the universe over the years and how we realize how much bigger and massive it is than we can possibly even think about. Talking about having to get to the next place is like billions of light years away, and how difficult it's just, how do we even do that? And so we have movies that just try to maybe think of what that would look like, but it's impossible. And so it's beyond our imagination. God's love, who God is beyond our imagination. He's bigger than we can imagine. But there are some things that we should imagine. There's some things that we should imagine. And so we've been called to think about the good things and character and love and how we pursue one another. And we need to pursue those dreams that God has given us. And we talked about three main things last week. One is that God's Spirit and Word fuel my imagination. That when we spend time with God and engage with Him, we discover that He dreams with us, essentially. He inspires our hearts. And so we should be engaging in a daily time with God and finding our place with Him. And that growing in my character will also clarify my vision. That as we grow, God has called us to grow. And that's so important. We read in 2 Peter 1, 5 through 9, it says, "For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to your goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness mutual affection for one another, and then to mutual affection love. For if you possess these qualities," and it says here, "in increasing measure," that God has a purpose for us to grow. "They will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." It talks about in the scriptures how if we don't grow, then it really blinds us, that we don't allow God to work in us. We cannot see clearly. And so they will keep you from being effective, and it makes you be unproductive. It's a wild thing that God wants you to grow. And the reason some of you are not experiencing God's movement in your life or Him working with you is we are not growing, that we need to grow up. He's called us to do this, and that's why we need to be engaging with Him. And then we talked, the third thing we talked about last week is that if a dream is from God, it will be connected to His church and His plan for the world. If a dream is from God, it will be connected to His church and His plan for the world. God did not create you to live on earth just to live a self-centered life where you just get up, go to work, come home, watch TV, and go to bed. Make a little money, retire, and then die. Is that really it? And like, we can make a lot of money. There's the great opportunities across the river and on this side too. Like, there, you know, there's, but you know, even those who achieve the pinnacle, we read so much about how they get to the end of their life and they ask this question: is this really it? There has to be more. There's so many famous quotes around that. And the truth, the word is that there is. And God has made you to connect to His plan for the world. You know, that's not what God, you know, God hasn't put us here just to consume everything and that's it. He put you here to be part of His plan, to be part of His family. When God begins to connect you and your desires and your dreams to His plan for the world, there's nothing like that. And that's where we want to take that and we want to run with that today and keep going. And so the scripture we were kind of ending with last week was found in John 15, and Jesus was speaking, and He says, "I am the vine, and you are the branches. If you remain in Me, and I in you, you will bear much fruit." And He says this, "For apart from Me, you can do nothing." We don't like that phrase, especially here in the city, because we can do a lot. You guys are incredibly accomplished. You're very driven. And God has given you great brains and abilities, and you're able to rise above the rest and to strive, you know, strive and all those things, and you do that well. You challenge me. I'm inspired by you. But God steps in, and Jesus is speaking. He's like, "For apart from Me, you can do nothing. But if you remain in Me, and I in you, you will bear much fruit." And the reality is, who gifted you? Who gave you this brain? Who gave you this ability to imagine? It's a picture of God, for that's who He is. That's who He is. You and I are made to live for God's glory, for that's where we find our greatest fulfillment. And we're not just here for ourselves. We just sang the words, "Not to us, but to Your name be the glory, be all praise." Why would we sing that? Because we believe we find our greatest satisfaction in Christ. And it's why you should consider following Him, because He is the one who has brought us the words of life. And so we live for God's glory. And this is so key, that you're not made to be just living for yourself in a self-centered life, because ultimately that's meaningless. When you live for God's glory, when we experience life, this is what happens. Tough circumstances will not define you. They don't have to wreck your life because of the hope that we know that we have in Him. Hardship will then connect you to God. You'll understand that He's with you in this. And that over and over in His words to us, He says, "I will be with you." And they will help you see God answer the impossible. The things that, as we learn to step out in faith, that He allows us to experience with Him and with others. He's connecting us to good works and to people. Not to necessarily make you wealthy. God chooses who gets to be wealthy and who is the poor and all those different things. And that's a crazy concept. We've talked about that before. But for many of us, we think the financial wealth is what shows us that we're connected to God. And that's never been shown in Scripture. He has a good plan for us. And we get to see God at work. And there's nothing greater than experiencing His glory in our lives. When we live for ourselves, if you're in it for you, if you're trying to follow God and you go through tough circumstances that are hard to explain and that are disappointing, we will walk away from God or we'll be devastated. We'll be like, "Well, maybe I'm doing something wrong, or I'm disobedient, or it's something I did, you know, what is happening?" And so we can easily walk away. No, we have faith. We know that we live for His glory. We'll see here in a little bit that He's called us to endure hardship as discipline that grows us in character. And hardship will connect you to Him. It allows you to rely on Him and not you. If it's about you and hardship happens, we're going to walk away because it's not worth it. It's not worth it. I need to be, you know, happy all the time, and we'll pursue something else. But we miss out on experiencing Him. We are in it for His glory, and He wants to move us from fear into faith, into experiencing Him. And God is going to use the hardship and the circumstances in our life to see Him and do this. And so we need to live lives that are focused on the glory of God, where we are joining Him in His story. There's a story that He is pursuing in you, and He is connecting you to His plan and His church family throughout the world, His global plan for us, and to connect us to others and people. And for us, it's here in this city, and there's nothing like the uniqueness of what Jersey City is. And it's beautiful, and it's complex, and it's hard, and it's frustrating, all those things all at the same time, and we're so excited to be part of that. We've seen it grow, and it's connected globally. Every one of us here are connected worldwide in some kind of way. And so the self-centered life, ultimately that's empty. It's only our faith in God that gives us hope beyond. And I believe that many of you are here today pursuing that hope. And it's why we show you Christ. And so, yeah, it's hard. Life gets hard. And so we need to be reminded that this is how God has made us. I need to be reminded. We need the encouragement of one another. And so we see this happen in the Scriptures. We see where after Christ's resurrection, the church took off just like He said it would. By church, we don't mean a bunch of buildings. Those came hundreds of years later. We mean His people. Jesus, the word church is actually the word gathering. And the church took off. And despite incredible oppression and death and all these things, it exploded. And we see these church bodies, these gatherings happen all over the Greco-Roman world. And if you read what we call the book of Acts, it's the story of everything that happened after the resurrection. And it's amazing. And we see these churches that were started everywhere. And then they begin to write letters to these churches that just give us a picture of what it means to live out our lives in Christ. And they begin to experience great difficulty, where they would experience persecution. Some of them experience death. And there's this great, huge letter that we call Hebrews, and it was writing to them to encourage them, and it was just essentially a picture of, here's everything that God was showing us from the beginning when He began to engage with us leading up to Christ. And we want to encourage you to not give up, but to press on. And so as DCC, I want to lead us through some of these scriptures that they begin to write, and really the kind of focal point of the whole book of Hebrews. And as we think about going into the next 10 years, we are going to be celebrating in 2 weeks, 10 years of DCC. There are so many who have gone before us and sacrificed and loved so that we could be here today. And we want to take that legacy and lean forward and know that God has been leading us here and that He's going to do the same for the future. We started as DCC. We were the only new church that was happening in downtown. And the years leading up to that, we were like, somebody needs to start a church here. There's like a void. And then we looked around. We're like, I don't think anybody's going to do that. It was wild to see. And so we were like, I think God is calling us to do this. And it's like, well, how do you do that? And what we found is that He had been working in a story, and that my wife and I were here, and that we weren't the only ones. We didn't know how to do it, number one. I don't think we still do, by the way. he's been faithful, and we dared in faith to step out into this. And what we found is that this wasn't our idea. God had been weaving a story, and it's amazing to experience that. And so in Hebrews we read, this is one of the key places for our series, is Hebrews 11, 1 through 3. It says, now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command so that what is seen was made out of what was not made out of what was visible. This is And I say this each time I read this. It's a massive statement of faith. And we know that we have a God of incredible order and beauty and vision and grandeur, and we are overwhelmed by the beauty of our earth. And I talked last week about the expanse of the universe. And, you know, NASA sent out this massive satellite a couple years ago just to get to this one galaxy that we've seen. It's just one tiny speck of the entire universe. And, like, just so it can kind of shine its giant telescope, maybe they'll find another place that can be inhabited like Earth. Like, we're just in this, but it's just like one spot. It's one tiny spot, and it's just so insanely big. Where do we even start? We're blown away. And then the complexity of our bodies and our brains, the neurosurgeons will tell you we're just scratching the surface. It's unbelievable and how tiny microscopic things are. It's a wow. And at God's command, what was seen is now made of what was not seen. This great, beautiful God. And faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. They were writing to the people who were not, it wasn't easy. They had tough circumstances, way harder than what we experience now. Maybe it would be like writing to modern-day Syria or Ukraine and other places that are in conflict and war and hardship. And it was like, well, how do you do this? You look back to what God has done, and you look forward. We lead by faith. By faith. That's how we lead. We can put that word up on the screen. By faith. I want to read to you. This won't be up on the screen, but I want to read to you just some of the examples in Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11 is this great chapter of faith. Not this one. We can just leave by faith up. I don't have these verses up here, but these are just a couple of them. It says, it was by faith that Abraham obeyed, and when God called him to leave home and to go to another land that God would give him as his inheritance, he went without knowing where he was going. He's like, okay. And it was this great journey. God was starting his work in us through Abraham and this redeeming us from sin, and Abraham didn't know what he was doing, and he didn't, just like, I feel like the same thing. I don't know where I'm going. But I know that God will be faithful. Another example is in verse 11. It says, it was by faith that even when Sarah was able to have a child, though she was barren and was too old, she believed that God would keep his promise. And there's these several places in scriptures where it felt like the eternity was hanging in the balance. And this is what it says in the next verse. It says, and so a whole nation came from this one man who was as good as dead. A nation with so many people that like the stars in the sky, in the sand of the seashore, there is no way to count them. From Sarah having faith, even though she was barren, that God had called her to have the son. It's an amazing place in scripture. Later on in Hebrews 11, it says, it's given all these examples, and the writer says, how much more do I need to say? It says, it would take too long to recount the stories of faith of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and all the prophets. By faith, these people overthrew kingdoms, ruled with justice, and received what God had promised them. They shut the mouths of lions, quenched the flames of fire, and escaped death by the edge of the sword. Their weakness was turned to strength. They became strong in battle and put whole armies to flight. And that's the God's picture in us, like our weakness. Like we're not here today because of how incredible I am at leading organization, a pastor. We're here because of God's grace and his mercy and his faithfulness. And he's called us as weak, broken people. It's amazing. It's turned into strength. We call this the upside down kingdom. It continues. It says, women received their loved ones back again from death. Others were tortured, refusing to turn from God in order to be set free. They placed their hope in a better life after the resurrection. Some were jeered at, and their backs were cut open with whips. Others were chained in prison. Some were died by stoning. Some were sawed in half. This is insane. Others were killed with swords. Some went out wearing skins of sheep and goats, destitute and oppressed and mistreated. It says, they were too good for this world. It's a beautiful scripture. Verse 38 in Hebrews 11. They were too good for this world, wandering over deserts and mountains, hiding in caves and holes in the ground. And then it ends with this, and this is what we'll put up on the screen. It says, Hebrews 11 ends with this. It says, all these people earned a good reputation because of their faith. Yet none of them received all that God had promised. It's like there's more to come. And this verse here says, for God had something better in mind for us, so that they would not reach perfection without us. There was a future people, and we're here. We're the future people. And the writer here is writing to this audience that were struggling, and he's like, they endured these things. They weren't able to see all that God has promised, and this group of people saw Christ's resurrection, and they're experiencing more of this now. God has something better in mind for us. He has a plan for his people in the world, and he's called us into this. There was a plan in his people. God has a plan for the world. He has a plan for Jersey City and to you, and he wants to connect your personal story with his story for the world, and only a God who complexes him could really do that. It's amazing. It's amazing. And we've experienced this here. And we know that we will in the future because we've seen God call us to that and be faithful. And we want to think about that and reflect. And so for this last part, with all that said, this kind of leads into Hebrews 12, where they step into this hope. And so the question for you is, how do we experience this? And you might be asking, how do we experience God's plan? Well, I just want to highlight a couple of things. One is we look back. And I've already said this, but we look back to how good God has been, how God has been faithful, excuse me, then look ahead in faith. We look back. We know that he's been faithful. We know that he's called us to this. I believe he's put you here in this city, in this time, for such a time as this. What an amazing place to be. And so we look ahead in faith. And so all this has been said. The writer has been going through this, and we've made it chapters and verses, so it's easy to find. So we found ourselves through chapter 11 in Hebrews, and he launches into this next phrase. And so after all that said, the writer says this, therefore, with all that said, with all the pictures of faith and who's gone before us, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up, and let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. How do we do this? We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion. He's the victor who initiates and perfects our faith. The word initiates in some translations into English, it says the author and the perfecter of our faith. Let us run with endurance. And the writer just wanted to encourage them. And they're like, you know, that the phrase in the previous chapter was, what more can I, like, what do I need to say? Like, there's so many examples. Let's look back to this and be encouraged. And we hope to do that over the next couple of weeks, where we just want to celebrate and look back. And it reminds us that we can look ahead. And you are invited into this. We hope that this is a safe place for you to come and engage and ask your questions of God. And we pray that many of you will take the steps of faith and to surrender to Christ and be baptized and believe in him, just like others have. Some of you are with us today and you've done that. And lean into this Jesus who loves us. We run with endurance, not because of our strength, because of who he is. He is the champion, the perfecter of our faith. So we look back. We look back to how God has been faithful. And then we look ahead in faith. And then we see the second thing is that the beauty and the dream for what is ahead is built on sacrifice. And why in the world will we do this? Well, because we know that God is faithful. And it's so fascinating. The very next words in Hebrews begins to talk about how Jesus did this. And it says this, because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding his shame. So a core part of our belief is Christ lived a sinless life. God with us, came down to us, stepped into our world, and endured the shame of the cross, naked, beaten, stripped, whipped, all those things. He bore our sins, which is the greater part of that, and then endured death in the grave all the way through for us. But that didn't defeat him. In 3 days, just like he said would happen, in God's great plan, Jesus rose from the grave, defeating death in the grave and sin, so that in all things we have hope, that we can be forgiven of our sin, and the punishment that we deserve now was on Christ instead of us, and we have been set free. Disregarding his shame, for the joy awaiting him, now he is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. It's incredible. And so it encourages us. It says, think of all the hostility that he endured from sinful people. Then you won't become weary and give up. After all, you have not given your lives in the struggle against sin. Our world is broken. Sin is still ravaging it. We see the effects of that. And we lament to God. And so many times we blame God for the sins that we have done. And there's a consequence to our actions. But Christ didn't leave us there. He took the punishment for that instead. What a beautiful thing. It says, think of all that Jesus endured, and you won't become weary and give up. For the joy that is ahead, we know that we can trust him and follow. It continues here in Hebrews. It says, and I have you forgotten the encouraging words God spoke to you as his children? He said, my child, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and don't give up on when he corrects you. For the Lord disciplines those he loves, and he punishes each one he accepts as his children. He says, as you endure divine discipline, remember that God is treating you as his own children. A good parent disciplines their child. We struggle with this in our culture because we feel like there's this punishment of like saying you owe this, but discipline is different. Discipline is about who you are becoming, your future, the joy that is ahead. Because I love you, he said, there are things that you are doing that will be destructive. And we lead our children. We lead one another. And God is not afraid to lead us in this way. And that's why last week we talked about how it's important that we grow, because there's purpose in that. And when we see that, we dream. God sets us free. Our children are actually happier when they are disciplined, because they walk away from destructive habits. And it gives us strength to step in. And so in the Hebrews it says, endure the divine discipline. And God loves us. It goes on to say in verse 10, I'm going to skip ahead here, but it says, for our earthly fathers disciplined us for a few years, doing the best that they knew how. But God's discipline is always good for us, so that we might share in his holiness. There's a purpose. Sometimes I don't like this purpose. I don't like how hard life can be. And I've experienced tough circumstances. We talked about that. And so that's why we live for the glory of God, because we know that tough circumstances and hardships is leading us to joy and beauty. And the only reason we would do that is for the sake of who he is. And that's what leads us to great joy. But God's discipline for us is always good, so that we might share in his holiness. And then it's honest here. It's like no discipline seems good at the time. No discipline is enjoyable while it's happening. it's painful. But afterward, there will be a peaceful harvest of right living for those who are trained in this way. There's nothing like experiencing the beauty of God's fruit in your life and the harvest that comes to that. Peaceful harvest, a plentiful harvest. God has a purpose for you and I, and we want to learn to trust him, to dream. We dream of that harvest. Jesus said when he was here with us, this is why we say we go out, he goes, I've been planting seeds. And the person who sows and the person who gets to harvest both take joy. And Jesus said, what joy is ahead. And I believe God has been sowing this seed for us in Jersey City. We've seen that come to fruition so many times. And he's been showing us that this story is still going. There's a plan for you and for our church family and for this city. You know, I've referenced our journey here, my wife and I, and we moved to New York with the dream of starting new churches, and we just wanted to connect with other churches that were beginning new in the city. And what's incredible is to see this 17 years later, what we see happening all over New York City and in Jersey is unbelievable. And there's been so many stories. But we ran into to struggles. We had apartment issues. We started having like a million kids. We have three children that are somewhere in the city right now. And, you know, it was hard to get an apartment and all these things. And then we finally, we moved out of an apartment without having one. This was about, like, I don't know, 12 years ago. I forget what, and it's all convoluted in my mind. But we couldn't get a space. And so we ran into challenges. We finally got into one. It was a ground floor apartment, which was great. My wife was pregnant with our third at the time. We get in the apartment, and we're like, this is incredible. And then we flooded. We had a Hurricane Irene come through, and we flooded with that. And we were living in temporary places all over New York, just friends who let us crash in different places. And we got back in, and then literally 2 days later, my wife gave birth to our third child. It was a wild experience. And so we're like, great, that was the 100-year flood, which is what everybody described it as at the time. Well, next year was 100 years later, and Hurricane Sandy happened. It was worse, and we lost everything. And we were like, we're done with this apartment. It was crazy. And so we had friends. Before the flooding happened, Christian friends came to said to us, you know, you're having all these issues getting to an apartment. Maybe God is just saying to you, you should leave. And the thought crossed my mind. I was like, we're free. I didn't have an amazing job at the time. We were just trying to find a way to be in the city. And I was like, no. God has called us to this. And if we live it, if we're living just for ourselves, eventually hardship will run from it because we think that's not supposed to be that way. And we leaned in. And what's amazing is I was having this conversation right before the service with someone today. Like, there was great beauty that came from after Sandy. Like, it was kind of freeing to lose everything. There's nothing to do. That's kind of, and then like, we developed deep relationships and friendships with all of our neighborhood that some of them still are still here today. And there were these bonds that were created with the city. And there are people that wouldn't even, like, talk to us before and pay attention to us that were like, wait, why are you here? And to flood and to stay, and all those things, it said, like, we love you. We're committed to this city. And it was out of that devastation here and in Hoboken where the roots of our church actually began to form. And it's really cool to see that. And we just see God's glory. And we began to pray very specifically just for certain things. And we look back, we found that list. It was on Evernote, like an account that I forgot that I even had. And I was looking back, and we were just like almost in tears looking at how God had answered so many prayers. And that was just the beginning of challenges. And God was showing us that, you know what, you can lose everything, and I'm going to be faithful because it's me doing this work. And that's just my personal story. And it's not about me because what we found was God had been doing a story in so many other people. And during that time, I was connected to a pastor in Hoboken. They were like, do you guys know each other? They've started, and they are dreaming about this area as well. And there were the answers to prayer that we didn't know even existed. What was seen now came out of what we had no idea how it would become to be. By faith, God is doing a work. We were not alone, and God was in this story. And there's so many other examples I don't have time for. Like, COVID hit. I was talking to our sister church in Hoboken recently. They're like, we think it's right now our church is 90%, 10% for those who are with us now versus who was with us before COVID. And I was like, I think that's true of us too. And it's like a restart. And here we are several years later, and it's God has been at work. He's not done. The beauty in the dream is built on sacrifice. Our church is here now because of the hundreds who have given of their time, their money, their giftings. And we want to plant that legacy for what is ahead. And when Jesus came, he showed us that's the only way. And he showed us it's worth it. So we look back to how God has been faithful. That allows us to look ahead in faith. The second thing is we the beauty and the dream for what is ahead is built on sacrifice. And the third thing, the final thing for us, is we sacrifice for what is ahead because we know God will be faithful. We know God will be faithful. And we have dreams. We dream for so much more. We see in this city. And I want you to be part of that. I believe God has called many of you here to step into that dream, and he wants to connect your personal story to his, and I want you to see him. And it's built on sacrifice, and that won't be easy. But we, for the joy that awaits us, we follow Christ's example. 10 years from now, what do we dream of? 5 years from now, we dream to be in a church of 300 people. I don't know what 10 years looks like. But we dream of starting new locations. We know that by being here at Nimbus and putting an A-frame out, many of you show up. We're a city of walking distance, and we know that we will grow. We could double in size just by being able to open a new location. While that takes us hiring staff and engaging with people, we dream of this. I dream of this. These are things that I think about. And we know that it will happen, and we want you to join us in investing in the future and future opportunities to double. We could have 3 services here and triple in size here. And so we are giving, and you've been giving faithfully. We are above our budget right now, which is really exciting. And our elders, I've been meeting with them, and they're like, you can't take steps yet. Like, we're just now beginning to grow. And so I'm coming to you and saying we can invest more in the future, and God is going to be faithful in that, and we can hire staff and take steps beyond. We dream of baptism. We dream of you engaging and following Christ in an exponential way. We've seen it happen before. We're experiencing great momentum, and he has laid the foundation for us. And what a joy it is to think about what we can dream about in the future. We dream of a kids ministry. We dream of taking over every class upstairs. And we have all these thoughts and dreams of how we engage our families and the children and the students for other ministries here, for hiring staff. I could fill 4 full-time positions right now if I wanted to. Church work is amazing work. But it's not someone else doing it. We will never do any of this unless you take a step. You are this church family. And our model is not me doing everything. Our model is me equipping you for works of service. That's what Christ has called us to. So DCC, how will we be faithful to him in the future? We are in this for his glory. Our final steps today for you to think about is 1 is to surrender and believe. That is our first step of faith. And for many of you, you are engaging this, and we want to continue to encourage you to take steps towards him and ask your questions of God, to come back. If you're new with us, we'd love to get to know you and say hello and share more of this dream with you. But to surrender and to believe and to be baptized. And then you need to be connected to God. To your daily time with him, so that you can dream with him. And then you need to be part of his mission. How will you give? How will you sacrifice this year? Financially, we have been gifted in this city. This city is crazy. Since I moved here, my rent has gone up 300%. That's wild. I love sharing these stats. We love sharing these stats to people who live outside New York City area because we that's the only glory we get from paying high rent. It's wild here. It on paper doesn't make sense to start a church here. You shouldn't do it. Why would we do it? Because the world is here. There are like 4 incredible churches. There's more than that. But new churches that have now started in downtown, it's really cool. And I'm friends with the pastors. That's what we dream about. And like, the city where my parents live, it's like, we're double the size of it, and I don't know, there's probably like hundreds of churches. There's tens of thousands of people just in a block of us. It's wild. A couple blocks. I mean, we would endure anything. The hardship we go through is nothing compared to being part of God's glorious plan and His glory for us. So, let's be part of this mission. How will you give? How will you serve? How will you sacrifice for God has gifted you to be part of this church family? This is a question we want to ask you as we think about the next 10 years. DCC, what is your commitment going to be to invest in the next 10 years? I want you to pray about this. Last week, it was begin to engage a daily routine with God. And now we want to ask, what is your commitment to engage His story in you and how He's going to connect that to His story for the world? Let's pray together. Father, we love you. We thank you for your words. God, I thank you for these amazing words. 2,000 years ago, from you and from your early church, that we know that you were at work. And I thank you for the past 10 years, 10 to 15 years, we can look back and see that you've called us to us, and there's no other answer other than you are doing it. And so we know that we can look ahead and that you will be faithful, and that it will not be easy, but we know that you are with us. May we experience this. I pray for everyone here that they would experience what it's like to step out in faith and to trust you. That we would love this city that you love so deeply. We thank you, Father, and ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.